If you want to just jot somewhere in your notes that the voice of the Lord is life-giving, that's the last point that I would have spent some time on last week. The voice of the Lord is always life-giving. There's never a time that we're going to hear the voice of God that he's going to crush or destroy who we are. You may say, well, I'm telling you what, Jesus, he came to kill us. That's what he came to do. And actually, you'd be right. The old, messed up, sinful us, he came to totally kill that dude and raise us up into brand new life. And guess what? He already did that 2,000 years ago. And when you place your faith in him, the old you is dead. So Jesus isn't going to spend the rest of his time with you on earth killing you and crushing you and destroying you. He already killed the old sinful, messed up you, and he raised you through his resurrection into a brand new life and into his relationship with his Father. So his voice is always going to be life-giving. So I told you I wasn't going to preach that, but I just did. Okay. We're in the middle of a series, and probably going to be call this the last of the series this morning, possibly. And I want to talk to you guys about how you have access to God's faith. Not so much you need to try harder to grow and develop your faith, because again, that just gets our eyes on our faith. And anytime our eyes are on our faith, we will not experience the fullness that God wants us to. We don't grow when our eyes are on our faith. We grow when our eyes are on the faithful one. His faith in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. So we've been learning how his faith functions in us. Mark 11:22, Jesus replied, let the faith of God be in you, right? We've been learning in your notes, quick review, how God's faith speaks. God's faith speaks. It's not just that his faith speaks, though. It's the motivation. It's where his faith speaks from. From rest, from focus, from flow. We've also learned that God's faith speaks a rhema, Greek word, which means a fresh now word. In other words, God is always speaking. He is always speaking. And Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing. Anybody with me? And hearing by the word of God, or the rhema is that Greek word. And actually, most newer translations don't say the word of God. They say the word of Christ. Because it's focusing not just on the written word, which is scripture, but when Jesus, through his spirit, breathes on that written word, and that becomes a now word for my life. All of the Bible is good. I love it all. But there are certain portions of the Bible God is currently focusing on for me. That's the rhema. Does that make sense? So that there's the logos, the written word of God. That's the Greek word we often use to speak of the written word. And then there's the fresh rhema, spoken word, that can arise out of scripture. And it can also be something that God just speaks to our hearts. In your notes, or actually on the screen if you want to follow along. Rhema comes. Here's how we receive. Because if faith comes by hearing, or faith, God's faith begins to manifest in our life through hearing, then I want to know how I hear him. So this is why I continue to do this review every week. Every single week I'm going over this on purpose. Rhema comes as spontaneous thoughts that flow into your mind from your spirit. This is how we receive a fresh word from God, through spontaneous thoughts that God begins to speak in our mind that are arising out of our spirit. So I've been having us read this next quote out loud every week together so we can see how simple it is to hear God's voice in our life. Because God's voice is the key core element of Christianity. Jesus didn't do anything, but what he saw his Father doing, what he heard his Father saying, that's what he spoke. That's what he said, right? So his voice, God's voice, is core to walking out our faith, walking out his faith in us. So let's read this together. Ready? Read. Hearing God's voice is as simple as quieting yourself down, fixing your eyes on Jesus, tuning to spontaneity, and writing. All right? I've memorized that because to me that's a very easy, simple way to remember how God speaks to us. Listen, this isn't for a select few group of people. Like, for some of you, God really doesn't speak to you. Now, I realize some of us are more left brain than right brain. Some of us are more analytical than the people who are more right brain, that are more intuitive, maybe artistic by nature. If you ask them if God speaks, if they're a Christian, they'll go, oh, yeah, of course. Well, how do I hear his voice? Oh, you'll just know. You'll know that you know that you know. And the left brain guy says, no, I don't know. That's why I'm asking you, right? So the whole purpose of looking at this statement is so that everybody, left brain and right brain, no matter who we are, no matter what our personality is, God's desire is to speak to every believer. And let's read it. Let's read it one more time. Hearing God's voice is as simple as quieting yourself down, fixing your eyes on Jesus, tuning to spontaneity, and then writing. We write down, we journal what he speaks to us. So what, the things we've been talking about, how important it is, first of all, in your notes, that rhema, or fresh words that God speaks to our heart, need to be treasured, need to be valued above reason. We also talked about how rhema can and should be tested, right? Rhema is tested against the scripture to see if it aligns. And what we talked about last week, it's tested against God's nature and his character. God is love, so you'll never hear a word from God that isn't loving, ever. If it's not loving, this is how boldly I made this statement last week. If it's not loving, it's not God. If it's not loving, it's not God. That doesn't mean God is squishy and doesn't care about any of the junk in our life. No, it means that he lovingly confronts us and doesn't point at the junk as much as he points at, this is who you really are. You don't have to be involved in that when this is your true nature. This is who I created you to be. Rise up and live in the fullness of the faith and grace and love and mercy that I created you to walk in. His kindness leads us to repentance, scripture says, right? So if it's not loving, it's not God, because God is love. And he is also life-giving. His voice is life-giving, and we've learned to submit what we feel like we're receiving that we think might be God to other believers around us so that they can also speak into our lives. Because one of the ways that God speaks to us is through other people. But his primary and first way is he lives in-house, and he wants to speak to you on the inside, right? You were created to hear his voice. So the thing I want to talk about this morning is the next point, rhema, so a fresh spoken word from God, responded to, will release heaven on earth. So let's talk about the benefits of hearing his voice, the benefits of hearing God speak to us. One of the benefits is that when we respond to the word of the Lord, everybody hear the key word there, right? It's not just rhema. It's not just the fresh word of the Lord that will change us, but it's rhema, or the word of the Lord, as he speaks to us, as he shows us a scripture out of the Bible that he's emphasizing, or he speaks to us about something in our life that he wants to focus on and bring us to the next level in. It's that word, when we respond to that word, there's power in that word, right? There's power built into that rhema. That power is released when we respond to. And the good news is that, you know, you may say, that's right, Pastor, now start telling them, work out your salvation. You better get to responding. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Well, you better quote the rest of the verse. For it is God that works in you, both to will and to do according to his good pleasure, right? He even gives me the ability to respond. And it is simply a response. He initiates through the rhema, and then he also gives me the ability to respond to that word. Now, he won't force me to, but all of the necessary power is there for me to respond. And then when I respond to that word, whatever he's speaking to me about, then his power is released. Heaven manifests on earth. Great example of that, Luke chapter 1, we've been talking about Mary and how the angel of the Lord came to her and spoke to her about how she was going to give birth. I mean, what a crazy rhema. If she would have submitted this to the spiritual leaders of her day, they would have all told her she missed it, right? She treasured and valued that rhema in her heart, but she said yes. In Luke 1:38, it says, "And Mary said, 'Behold the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word.'" That's the word rhema in Greek. So she is saying to the angel of the Lord that's just given her, "This is what God's going to do. You're a 14-year-old girl. You're going to have a baby. And no man is going to be involved." That makes no sense to her mind, but she responds and decides, "You know what? I value this word more than I value understanding and my own reason to be able to figure it out in my head." Are you with me? Has God ever told you anything that didn't make sense to your head? And she responds, and I love this about her, and she says, "Yes. I don't understand it, but I say yes, let it be done to me according to your rhema." And she submits. The authority is in that word. The ability to perform that word is built into the word itself. And she says yes, and because of her, you can write this in your notes, we have a Merry Christmas. That's where this phrase came from, by the way, just so you know. Yeah, okay, that's one. Every 10 jokes is funny. That's one. I got 9 more, all right? So how many of you I just so admire this teenage girl and her heart to just say yes to Jesus? Well, sometimes we talk about how the disciples, you know, weren't quite as responsive, and we've talked about that during this series. When they got a word of the Lord, sometimes they just flat out didn't even believe it. They said it's nonsense. It seemed like it didn't make sense to them, so they dismissed it. But here's a good example. In Luke chapter 5, Jesus has come to Peter. In fact, Pastor Tana preached on this a couple weeks ago. And he comes to Peter, and he's invited himself into Peter's boat. And he's speaking to the crowd. Now, Peter's a fisherman. He's been fishing all night, right? It's what he does for a trade. It isn't what he does for a hobby. It's what he does for a living. Some fish for a hobby and they enjoy it. This is this guy's way that he makes a living. Does it every single day of his life. Done it since he's a kid. It's the family business. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to catch fish. In fact, any fisherman you talk to knows what they're doing, right? They all know. They all know how to catch fish. They all know exactly how it's supposed to work, right? Well, it's no different for these guys. They're fishermen, right? They're rough, tough fishermen. And these guys, this is all they know. This is all Peter knows. His whole life has been spent fishing. A rabbi steps into his boat and tells him to, you know, push out a little bit and let me do some speaking to the crowd. And look what happens. When he had finished, Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Now, this makes no sense. I want you to think about this. If you're Peter, Tana hit this so well a couple of weeks ago. If you're Peter and you're hearing this carpenter. Now, remember, different trade, right? So you can imagine Peter, he's like, "Me fisherman, you carpenter. No good. This isn't going to work. You got the wrong trade here, buddy. I'll tell you how to fish. You tell me how to build things," right? But instead, he responds. Simon answered and said, "Master, we worked hard all night and we caught nothing." He first explains it, right? A good fisherman. "We caught nothing, but I will do as you say." That word is rhema. "I will do as you say and I will let down the nets." How many of you know what happened when he let down the nets? You remember? They caught a boatload of fish, right? They caught a boatload of fish, so much so the nets are starting to tear. They got to call friends from around to help them pull it in. This isn't a normal catch. He's caught nothing all night. And if you guys, I'm not much of a fisherman, and I really need to steer clear of metaphors that I don't understand very well. As you guys know, I prophesied over one man that he was a heifer of a man. So I try to stay away from ranching metaphors, fishing metaphors, things that I don't understand, right? So I can't say too much about this. I'm not a fisherman. But I got to think that most guys that fish wouldn't say, "Oh yeah, we've been fishing all night, but if we just threw the nets out on the other side of the boat, oh yeah, that's going to work," right? They're going to be like, "This is crazy, but we'll do it." And you may feel that way. When God speaks something to your heart, when he reveals something of an area in your life that he has made a promise to you about, and he says, "If you'll just do this one small thing, It isn't always that God will even say, I want you to walk on water. Right? He may just simply say, cast the net out on the other side. Do the same thing you've been doing, but change the location just a little bit. Do the same thing you've been doing, but tweak it just this little bit of a, you know, I've been doing this my whole life. I know how this works. Yeah, but he knows how it works better than we know, right? And so when he responds to this word, which is not about because Jesus understood the logistics of fishing. He doesn't give this because he's just a better fisherman. He gives this because there's power in the word that he speaks that the fish begin to respond. This is a miracle. This isn't like some natural phenomenon that happened because they simply cast it on the other side of the boat. They acted on a word from God, and when they did, it unlocked the miraculous, and heaven began to manifest on earth in that very moment. That's powerful, isn't it? You can write this in your notes. When we act on rhema, we activate dunamis. What am I talking about? So dunamis is the word, one of the words, there's different Greek words, but it's one of the words that's used for power. And it's one that we in our brand of faith, Pentecostals, are pretty familiar with. If you're Pentecostal, you have heard about dunamis before, right? It's where we get our word, dynamite. Dynamite, right? It's an explosive word. It's a power word. And we're familiar with this because we've heard many sermons if you're Pentecostal. If you're not, you hang around very long, you're going to hear this. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, you will receive dunamis. You'll receive power when Holy Spirit comes upon you. When the Holy Spirit who lives within every believer erupts out of you and the Holy Spirit in you gets on you. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me to heal the sick, to bring the brokenhearted to freedom, to the recovery of sight to the blind. He said, this kind of dunamis power is on me. And Acts 1:8 says that same power that was on Jesus will manifest on you as Holy Spirit erupts up out of you and that God in you gets on you. Right? We've heard plenty of those sermons. I've preached plenty of those sermons. I felt like we should revisit this word, though, because sometimes you can get familiar with the word and think you know what it means. And it's kind of like the Princess Bride. You keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means, right? So let's take a look again at dunamis this morning and what this word actually means in your notes on the screen. Dunamis means strength, power. It means ability, all of those things. But I want you to see the second bullet. Dunamis also means inherent power. Power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. Do you see that? Power, dunamis power, is power, the power of Holy Spirit that resides in you as a believer in Jesus Christ. His power, this kind of dunamis, explosive, miracle-working power, it resides in us by virtue of our nature. It's who we are. It's not just something we do. It's who we are. But notice the second part of the definition, or which a person or thing exerts or puts forth. So think of dunamis power residing in you as potential, right? His power is there, but the power in you needs to get on you. That's what Acts 1:8 says. That the Holy Spirit will come up on you and you will be, it's all about the nature of who you are, you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the othermost parts of the earth. That's what Acts 1:8 says. In other words, the power in you is potential power that will propel you to act on the word of the Lord that he's given you. The rhema of God that you act on. Every single time that Jesus performed a miracle, I mean this as an emphatic statement, every single time was in response to a word, a rhema now word that he was getting from the Father. Every one of them. None of them were simply done by his own human, because he's fully God and fully man. None of them were done by his human initiative, just trying to work something up. You with me? I've done plenty of that. Ooh, I'm going to grunt out a miracle. Trying hard here, Lord. I'm going to make something happen. And every miracle that Jesus performed, because how many know there were plenty of people that, in fact, there's a guy at the gate, beautiful, that doesn't get healed until the book of Acts. How many know Jesus passed that guy a bunch of times? With me? He passed that guy a bunch of times, but he didn't say, I have to heal every single person on the planet while I'm walking the earth. Now that's why he left the church here, right? So that we could function in the same way that he functioned in response to, first of all, by the indwelling Holy Spirit. It's not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord, right? But in response to the direction and the leadership of the Rhema word, the spoken word. What is God leading me to do? In fact, one of the things that I try to do, and I'm not always good about this, because I've grown up in church and I know how to just do things by rote. Spent my whole life in church. You can ask me to pray for you. I can slap my hand on your head, quote a bunch of scriptures. I know enough of that. I've spent enough of my life memorizing scripture. I can just rattle them off and I can just speak them off and I can pray a very eloquent Pentecostal prayer. I mean, I can not just pray an eloquent prayer. I can get down and dirty Pentecostal. Hallelujah. And I can pray and spit and get all of it good stuff going on that those guys on TV do. Wow. All right. And nothing happened. Right? I can do that all just by memory, just by rote, just by the fact that I grew up Pentecostal, and I mean flaming Pentecostal, all right? I mean fiery, crazy Pentecostal. So that's normal. I could just do it, but have absolutely nothing accomplished for the kingdom of God. So what I really try to do is I try to stop, just what we talked about, quiet myself down. I don't ask the Lord, is it your will to heal them? Because every single person that asked Jesus to heal them, he responded to the Father and every one of them were healed, right? There's not like an example where someone came to Jesus and said, Jesus, would you heal me? And he would say, not you. The rest of them, yeah, but not you. Or how about the guy that partially received his sight, right? He's like, I see people like trees walking around. And then Jesus didn't say, well, it must be God's will for you to spend the rest of your life like that. He didn't do that. He responded to the leadership of the Father. And however the Father showed him to minister, that's what he did. And to different blind guys, he did different things. Some he laid hands on, some he spoke to, some he spit in the mud. Now we got those people that are in the spit in the mud club, and because Jesus did it once, they'll spit in the mud every time and slap it in your eyes. Those people, I've had enough of that prayer, all right? And I've had all kinds of stuff practiced on me, you know? But I want to encourage you, Jesus, I really do want you to be encouraged this morning. Jesus, every time, just quieted himself down, and so, look to the Father, and he always brought God's, you know, heaven to earth, but how he did it was different. It wasn't based on the situation, it was based on the leadership of the Father. It was based on the current now word that was being spoken to him and shown him. Every single miracle Jesus ever did, he only did in response to a fresh spoken word of God. Boy, that changes everything, doesn't it? Because we like to have principles, and if you follow this 7-step program, then you know that you're going to experience God's abundant flow in your life. We like to have it work like that, and that's not how it works. It's not how it worked for Jesus. And then even in the book of Acts, they simply followed the direction of Holy Spirit as he led them. And when they acted on, and they practiced. Paul's tried to go to this different city and he couldn't go, and he tried to do this and it didn't work, and he tried to do that, and he goes to sleep and has a dream and hears a voice that says, come to Macedonia, right? So then he has the word of the Lord, and guess what? That region opens up to him. That doesn't mean he wasn't practicing the whole time and like, God can't steer a parked car, right? You don't have to be afraid or paralyzed. You know, I'm not talking about sitting at home tomorrow and saying, Lord, do I see myself going to work today? I'm waiting on you. How many know it could get spooky spiritual, right? You know you need to go to work tomorrow, all right? So you go to work tomorrow, but you're asking the Lord all day long, how are you ministering through me today? In what way could I respond in this situation, not just based on what my mind says to do, but I'm trusting you to lead me and guide me as I respond, as I walk through my day, and as these spontaneous ideas come into my mind, I'm going to be willing to step out in small ways to begin to test those things that I think I'm hearing from you. And when we're hearing from him and we act on what he speaks to us, make come through a picture. It may come through a word. It may come through a word of a friend. It may come through your reading of scripture that morning. However you're hearing from him, when we act on what he says, heaven is released. Dunamis power is released. In fact, in your notes, dunamis power is power for performing miracles. This is one of the definitions of that Greek word. Power for performing miracles when we act. And I'm not just talking about miracles like the feeding of the 5,000, although that does still happen today. Heidi Baker has some incredible stories about how she continues to feed when the food should have ran out. I have stories in my own life when I was a kid about stuff like that happening with my parents where we didn't have enough food, but the food kept going, the food kept going. But I'm not only talking about that. There are miracles like we saw last week with that young man, Josh, that Tana shared about. That's a miracle. That his heart was locked up and God unlocked his heart. And he unlocked his heart through a simple prayer and a simple love song from the Father. Now, we could have went through 42 steps of breaking generational bondage and curses and freedom and all of that stuff. And I'm not saying if the Lord leads you to do that, that isn't bad. If the Lord leads you to do it, right? Life is in what he's saying and how he's leading right now. It also means moral power and excellence of soul. So it's power to live in the way that we know God's designed us to live, right? Following his leading all day long in decisions of ethics, in decisions of integrity. We can trust him to lead us. It's the power and influence which belong to riches and wealth. Did you know that that's one of the definitions of dunamis? It's the power and influence that belong to riches and wealth. How many know God wants to be involved in the area of our finances? Ed did such a great job speaking on this at our men's camp a couple of weeks ago, or last week, whenever it was. It was such a good word. And it wasn't all about just following this exact thing, you have to give 10%. 10% was only meant as a starting point in our lives. And if you can't, and I love that Ed said this, if you can't start at 10%, start at 1%. Respond to the Lord is the main thing in your giving. I used to be a person that if I made $330.10, I would give how much? $33.10. Not one penny more. Not one penny less, because I'm going to give 10%. How about, Lord, this all is yours. How would you have me invest this and use this? An incredible testimony we heard last week. My brother and his wife are missionaries. They live on the YWAM base. They have for 6 years, Youth with a Mission, YWAM, in Colorado. How can you tell we're not going to get through the notes? They live on the base, the Youth with a Missions base in Colorado Springs. And these guys have given their lives for missions. And as they have done so, they've gone further backwards and further backwards financially. And they would ask the Lord, do you want us to leave? Here's the kind of family they were. They were a Dave Ramsey family. When he worked, he was in medical, they're both in the medical profession. And he in the medical side and she in the admin side. They made good money, they tithed, they saved, and they carried zero debt. Ever since I've ever known my brother, he's been that way. He went into missions, and they just begin to go backwards. Their house didn't sell. And how many of you know, you could look at that and think, well, that must be God telling them, stop doing that, right? Their house didn't sell. They're trying to pay a payment plus be missionaries without support. God began last year to just bring in supernatural support from other missionaries to them, who didn't have money themselves that start supporting them. But this last week, my sister-in-law stood on stage at Youth with a Mission base, and she told the story of how last week someone walked into their house, another missionary on base had gotten an inheritance. And I tell this because she told it publicly. Had gotten an inheritance. And that missionary needed a car. That missionary needed other things for their kids and their family. There were things that they needed, but they all as a family prayed and said, God, what do we do with this? And they walked over to the room where my brother and his wife and family lived, and they knocked on their door, and they said, God told us to come and pay off your debt of $22,000. they went through with the phone and dialed the credit card companies that, and here's my brother, and they're about ready to file bankruptcy and say, God, we totally missed you. We really probably weren't supposed to do this with our lives. We need to leave this base. And they came to their house, and this person asked the Lord, what do you want me to do? They could have bought the car, $22,000 that their family needed. But they said, Lord, what do you want us to do with this? And they took that $22,000 and they paid off that debt, every bit of it. My brother and his wife carry zero debt again now, and they're seeking the Lord about how he best helps them move forward from this place. What's his will? What's his purpose? That's amazing, isn't it? Now, we can have all kinds of discussions about how they should have handled it and how they ended up in the place they were at. All I know is God is good, and somebody listened to a rhema word from him and walked right into their lives, and God used them through a rhema word and finances to totally change their circumstance. How many know they're fired up now about missions? Like, oh man, we can do this, right? What could God do through you? What could God do through me simply by responding? I'm not just talking about what you give at church, right? I'm talking about the single mom that needs a washing machine that the Lord moves on your heart, and you were going to buy a brand new gaming console, right? But God moves on your heart, and instead of doing what you wanted to do, you reach out and you respond to the word of the Lord. And you know the crazy thing? God can still get you the gaming console. He can still take care of not just your needs, but your wants. He is so good. If we could just trust him in the area of our lives to say, Lord, how are you leading? And act on that word, he can take care of it all. Amen? We're going to just do the rest of this next week. Let's stand. That's good enough. 10 o'clock. When it's 10 o'clock, I'm done. I'm done. It's like a microwave. Ding. Only if you left your hot dog in the microwave for 30 minutes. Oh my gosh. All right. Listen, this morning before you leave, you're here. You don't know for sure that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You don't know. You don't know that if you left here today, you don't know for sure that you have surrendered your heart to him. That's the first rhema word you're ever going to hear, is him calling your name on the inside saying, give me your life. Surrender your life to me. You can trust me with your life. So go ahead, you can join me. Lyle, Tana had to take back our rental car. So if you know that you need to surrender your life to the Lord this morning, you haven't done that, just respond to him. No hype, no great song, come forward. Just respond. Just say yes. Raise your hand real high if that's you. Say, that's me. I need to give my life to Jesus today. I need to surrender my life to him. You can do that right here. Is anyone here that needs to do that today? Don't leave without, I love saying this, you'll never know the plans for your life if you don't know the architect. Oh, he's so good and he only has good plans. Anyone need to do that this morning? Let's just respond to him today. Just repeat after me. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Jesus, thank you that you died for me. You died as me. The old me is dead. The new me is alive. I'm alive in you. And you live in me. Your faith is big in me. Thank you. Your faith manifests through me. I give you praise for the miracles that I'm going to see this week in my life as I respond to your leadership, to your rhema words. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on. Praise him.